Well, good morning to everyone who is watching this live on Facebook and those who are listening via phone. I so appreciate you all joining us this morning. I'm trying to get all the technology worked out, so I know there have been a few bugs this morning, especially with the call system. So if you tried that and were not able to get in, for those of you watching on Facebook, I do apologize. But I am excited to be able to continue to share God's Word with you. In this different time and in this different way. Hebrews chapter 1 says God spoke at various times and in various ways, and I am happy to allow God to speak through His Word in this time and through these different methods. I'm going to offer a prayer for us all, and then I'm going to get started with the sermon. Father, I thank You that You are a holy and righteous God. I thank You that You have loved us, and that You have given us the hope of eternal everlasting life through You and through Your Word. And so, Father, I pray now that as we open up Your Word and we study it together, that You would encourage us, that You would help us, and that You would lift us up. Father, we know that there's a lot of strange things going on in our world. There's a lot of uncertainty. But, Father, we thank You and we praise You, because You are a God who is in control. You are a God that we can trust. And so I pray that all those who listen to the message today will be able to put their trust in You fully and completely. Please be with our world and with our nation and with all those who are dealing with this. Father, please be with the healthcare workers as they have to work long hours and make difficult decisions. Father, please bless them and guide them through this. Father, we love You. And it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. It's truly amazing to me how in just a matter of weeks, the world is seemed to have kind of gone into chaos and crisis mode. It seemed like just a few weeks ago, or maybe a few months ago, we were thinking about this mysterious virus that popped up in China. And it wasn't really, for most of us in America, a big concern. Then we saw it continue to spread and continue to grow, and maybe our concern heightened a little bit, but for most of us still, it was far away. It was across the world. It wasn't something that was a big deal. And then we started seeing the virus pop up in the U.S., in the United States. And some of us started to get more anxious, more worried, more concerned. And the virus continued to spread across the United States. And many people, again, they were fearful. They were concerned. But, you know, to me, what is even more interesting than simply the virus and the spread of it has been the various reactions from different people. For some people, it's been, it seems, the end of the world. And it causes some people to rush out, to stock up, you know, buy enough toilet paper for 2 years of being stuck in home. And it seems like people have thought, this is it. This is the end. There have been other people who have been on the total other end of the spectrum who have said, you know what, the media is just making it up. Right? We can't trust the news. We can't trust the media. Can't trust the president. We can't trust anyone. And maybe the question arises, well, who can we actually trust? And of course, you all know, because I'm coming to you with a Bible in hand and standing behind a pulpit, that you can trust the Lord your God. You can trust your Heavenly Father who sent His own Son, Jesus Christ, down to this earth for you. And so I want us to spend a little bit of time looking at a psalm. This is Psalm 33. And in Psalm 33, we get, I think, several reasons, not 33, but three reasons for us to trust in the Lord, even in this time of crisis in which maybe we have fear and anxiety. Let me start by reading Psalm 33 and verse 6. It says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap, and He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. Verse 10, it says, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, and the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. The warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation. For by its great might, it cannot rescue. Psalm 33, verse 18, he says, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. There's three things here that I would really like you to notice from Psalm 33. Three things that I think will be a great comfort and encouragement to us. Number one, we see that the Lord is creator. The Lord is creator. Number two, we see that the Lord is king. And number three, we see that the Lord is our deliverer. He is our deliverer. So in verse 6, the psalmist begins by talking about how by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By the breath of his mouth, all their host. And he gathers the waters of the sea as a deep. He goes on to say, the Lord spoke and it came to be. Consider the amazing contrast that's being drawn throughout this psalm. And I think as you look at this psalm, you'll see a contrast over and over again between the Lord and man, between trusting in the Lord and trusting in ourselves or in our kings, our governments, our officials. You see, he talks about the Lord was able to create the heavens and the earth. And notice how he does it. Simply by his word. Psalm 33, verse 6, it says, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made. By his breath were all the host of them made. He goes on, and in verse 9, it says, the Lord spoke, and it came into being. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, we read about God's creation. And it simply says, the Lord said, let there be light, and there was light. Right? Let there be the sun and the moon and the stars, and they were there. Let there be animals, creeping things that go along the ground, and they were there. Let us make man in our own image, and he was made. The Lord simply spoke, and it was. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, it says that by faith we understand the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. You see, we live in a world, a universe that was created out of nothing. And if you are someone who is not a person of faith, if you do not believe in God, you have to say, okay, this universe that was created out of nothing just came about by itself, out of nothing. And you're forced to say there was no cause or there was no person who made it. And you could go back and say, okay, well, maybe it was the Big Bang. There was this big explosion and all of a sudden all these things came together and Earth started to form. But where did the explosion come from? You see, you keep going back and you have to have a cause of some sort in order for us to know, or in order for there to be a world. But here we're told we have the ultimate cause, the eternal God who has always existed, who always was, and he spoke, and the world came into being. Contrast that with man. Man struggles, man strives, man works hard, and in fact the Bible tells us that man, by the sweat of his brow, would work and labor and be able to provide food for himself. You know, you look at what's going on in the world today and you see a lot of people putting in a lot of hard work, and we commend them for that. And we are thankful that people are working hard to create facilities for sick people to go, to create supplies. People are working hard to combat this virus and this crisis. But yet the Lord speaks, and it is. He is the only one who creates simply by his word. And so the application for us as God's people is found in verse 8. He's been telling us the Lord created, the Lord spoke, the Lord simply breathed, and it was there. And then he says in verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the earth fear the Lord, and let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. You know, there's a phrase that I like. I think it's a good phrase that I've been hearing, and people have been saying, facts over fear. We need to be able to choose to look at the facts, look at what's really happening, and not, you know, believe rumors or things like that. We are to choose to believe what is right, what is truth. But I want to submit something else to you that might seem a little strange at first, and that is not facts instead of fear, but that is fear instead of fear. Yeah, you heard me right. I want you to choose fear instead of fear. And you say, well, what are you talking about? What do you mean by that? Well, here it says that the inhabitants of the world, they fear the Lord and they stand in awe of him. In the book of Proverbs, it tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, it says, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. He says, instead of being afraid of things like the coronavirus, instead of being afraid of those who might be elected into government, instead of being afraid of those who may persecute and attack and try to come against the church, be in fear of the Lord God. Now, when you see the word fear in the Bible, it doesn't always mean to be in terror and dread and to be anxious. In fact, if you look at our text this morning, Psalm 33, I think we're told what it means to fear the Lord in the very next line. It says, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. You see, to fear the Lord is to put your utmost awe, reverence, and respect towards him. It's to say, he is the most important, he is the greatest, he is God Almighty, therefore, I will fear the Lord instead of fearing the virus, instead of fearing being shut up in my home for a long time, instead of fearing running out of toilet paper, whatever it is. I'm going to fear the Lord because he is creator. He spoke, and the world came into existence. So folks, let's choose to fear God instead of fearing the things of this world. But notice, not only is our Lord creator, our Lord is king. In verse 10, it says, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. See, we live in a world that thinks it is in control. We think we've got everything under control. In fact, I've seen politicians say several times, we've got this under control. The situation's under control. And then they come out a couple weeks later, or not weeks, a couple days later, and they say, you know what? We don't have this under control. Right? We don't know what's going on. We're trying to slow the virus down. We're trying to help people. We're trying to do all these things. But the reality is, man is not really in control. It says here that the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. But yet, it's the counsel of the Lord that stands forever. Folks, we can make all the plans that we want to make. But at the end of the day, it's the Lord's plan that's going to remain forever. I'm reminded of what we're told in the book of James, in which he says that there are some who say, we're going to go to such and such a town at such and such a date, and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And he says, you don't even know that you will have tomorrow. We don't know. We don't know what the future is going to bring. And this whole experience, I think, has shown the world we are truly not the ones in control. I mean, how many of us have had plans that have been canceled? Maybe you were going to go to an event. Maybe you were planning to make a trip, to do this, to do that. And things have been canceled. I keep hearing of all these places that have been shut down, that have been canceled, and people's plans have been changed. And even as churches, you know, it's good for churches to make plans to think about the future. But I think it's quite interesting how many churches this year have come out and said, this year we are going to have a 2020 vision, right? And in the year 2020, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And us at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ, we even had some of those things. We said, okay, in the beginning of the year, we're going to start this. This month, we're going to start this program. We had these plans, and it's almost as if the Lord said, wait a minute, guys. Your plans are all well and good, but you need to understand who's really in charge. It is the Lord God, Yahweh, Jehovah, our Lord. And so in verse 12, it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. Now, I would love if more and more people in America turn to the Lord. I would love it if our government trusted in the Lord and focused on him. I would love it if all those things happened. But, you know, maybe a temptation in a time like this is to look at verses like this and say, see, this is God's divine punishment because our nation has turned away from the Lord. And, you know, I don't know that we need to go there. I don't know that the Bible necessarily teaches that today. But I want you to notice something here. In Psalm 33 and verse 12, he says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And we might say, well, what hope do we have? Our nation maybe doesn't have the Lord as our God, or maybe it used to, but it's kind of veering away from that. And we look at culture and maybe we despair. But I want you to listen to the words of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He says, you are a holy nation. You see, it doesn't matter. I shouldn't say it doesn't matter, but for us as Christians, we are a holy nation regardless of if America is or wherever you're living. Regardless of the culture around us, God's people are a nation whose God is the Lord. And so he says, we have been called a holy nation to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are those who have God as our Lord. We are those who follow him. And so if our application for the Lord as creator was to fear God, our application for the Lord being king is to submit to him. If God is our king and we are those who are his nation, his heritage, we must be those who are willing to give our lives to God. We must be those who are willing to submit to him in all things. I love verses 13 and 14 of Psalm 33. It says, "The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man from where he sits enthroned. He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. And he who fashions the hearts of them all observes all their deeds." And so if we are those who are living under the throne of God, we also need to be those who follow him, who serve him, who obey him. And so if the Lord is king, we submit to him. But lastly, I think this psalm teaches us that our Lord is our deliverer. The Lord is our deliverer. In verse 16 and 17 of Psalm 33, it tells us that the king is not saved by his great army. The warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope of salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. You know, we love to look at man and to look at those who maybe are in earthly authorities and earthly places, and we think they're going to save us. They're going to be the one to rescue us. They're going to fix everything. It's amazing how whenever we have an election, there's these great promises of people saying, if you elect me, I'm going to fix this problem. I'm going to fix that problem. I am going to be your hope, your deliverer. But he says, the king is not saved by his great army. The warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope of salvation. And folks, I want you to hear the truth during this time. Our government, our hospitals, our healthcare workers, our wealthiest billionaires, they're not going to be the ones that can fix this problem. Now, they may help. They may take great steps and make great strides. They might be able to find medication that combats this virus. They might be able to make a vaccine that will prevent this virus. But ultimately, that will not save us. Jesus said, "Do not fear those who can simply kill the body and after that do nothing, but fear the one who can throw both body and soul into hell." And folks, listen, they might invent a vaccine, they might invent a cure for this, we might be totally saved from the physical effects of this virus. But if our souls are not right with God, it will all be for naught. It won't do anything. And so we must turn to the Lord as our deliverer. And so if the Lord is our creator, we fear the Lord. If the Lord is our king, we submit to him. And if the Lord is our deliverer, we put our trust in him. We don't put our trust in all these earthly things that may or may not work. Instead, we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "The eye of the Lord is on those who fear him and on those who hope in his steadfast love." In verse 19, it says that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. He says, "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help. He is our shield. For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you." Throughout the pages of Scripture, you read a powerful story of God's deliverance. From the very beginning pages in your Bible, you see, it is God who saves, it is not man. It is God who rescues, it is not us. We cannot save ourselves. And when you get to the New Testament, you see this teaching very clearly. Only God can save us from our sins. Only God can deliver our soul. It is only God who is worthy of our trust. And so I ask you the question, have you put your trust in Jesus Christ? Let me read to you from Hebrews chapter 2. And if you are following along with your Bible, please open it to Hebrews chapter 2. And I'm going to read starting in verse 14. It says, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death," listen to this, "he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil." Verse 15, here's our word, "and to deliver all those who through the fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery." Folks, the fear of death, the fear of sickness, the fear of people, the fear of anything except the Lord is a fear that enslaves us. And it tells us here that Jesus died so that you and I could be delivered from that fear, so that we could be rescued. In Colossians, it tells us that we have been delivered from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so I would ask you once more, as we come to the end of this message, have you put your trust in the one who can deliver you, who can save you from not just the things of this world, but who can save your soul from eternal destruction? Have you put your trust in him? We typically, at the end of a sermon, we give an invitation. And we ask that those who have a need would come forward as we stand and sing an invitation song. Well, that's probably not going to work considering I am preaching in an empty building, but yet, know there are many people who are watching and who are listening. And so let me give a different invitation to you as I wrap up. If you are someone who is a Christian, but there's something in your life that you're struggling with, that you are hurting with, if there's something going on that we could encourage you and pray for you, maybe even study the Bible with you online or over the phone or something like that, please let us know. If you're watching this online, send us a message on Facebook or type a comment if you have a prayer request. Let us know how we can help you and build you up. Feel free to call us at the church. We would love to talk with you. I would love to talk with you. But let me also say that there are probably some of those watching who have not fully put their trust in Jesus Christ and who have not come to him in the way that the Bible tells us to come to him. You see, the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing. Well, you have heard the word of God preached this morning, and maybe you have heard that and you've thought, I do want to trust in him. I do want to follow my king and submit to him. I want to obey him. That's so wonderful. That is incredible if listening to this message has encouraged you and built up your faith. But don't let it stop there. Instead, I would invite you to consider to examine your Bible and come to Jesus the way that the Bible has prescribed. The Bible tells us that people who believed in Jesus Christ, they would confess that he is Lord, he is the Son of God. And in doing that, they would say, I'm going to repent. That means they've turned their life around. It doesn't mean you're perfect, but it means instead of living for yourself, you're going to live for your King, Jesus. And then in doing that, those people would submit to Jesus Christ by being buried in the waters of baptism. When you study the book of Acts, you will see every time someone comes to faith, they are baptized into Jesus Christ. They don't wait for a special time or a special service or anything like that. They give their life to Jesus by being buried with him in the water and rising up to a new life. And if that is something that you feel you need to do, please get in touch. I respect this social distancing stuff a lot, but if your soul needs to be saved, I will baptize you and I will do it without delay. So if you need to do that, if you are ready to begin a life lived with Jesus Christ, please get in touch. I invite you to put your trust in Jesus, not in the things of this world. Let me pray for us all. And I look forward to seeing you during our next live video lesson. Father, we love you. And we trust in you even during a time like this. Especially, Father, during a time like this. And though, Father, we may not be able to assemble in a single building together as your church, we praise you that we can assemble through these means of technology. Father, we are thankful for these things, and we pray that you would use them for your glory. Father, I pray that your word would have an impact, that it would reach people who are listening, who are watching, who are studying. Father, help us to encourage one another, and as always, to put our trust in you. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.